You're listening to the Reformat Initiative podcast, where we analyze and discuss Roman Catholic theology and practice from an evangelical perspective. My name is Clay Kennard. I'm the communications director for the Reformat Initiative, and we are kicking off season three of our podcast. Praise the Lord for that. I'm sitting here in the city center of Rome, joined by my brothers, the director of the Reformat Initiative, Leonardo De Chirico. Leo, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. And our associate director, Reed Carr. Reed, how are you doing today?
Well, thank you, Clay.
Good, good. How was your summer?
It was great. It was great. Stayed here in Rome. Family moved houses, so that was a big deal. While the family went back to the States, but we were here and had a great summer.
Well, why did your family move?
For a new church plant project, Lord willing, we're kind of in the works and development now. So
awesome. And where exactly is that going to take place?
Near the Vatican, which is, kind of west of downtown, northwest just a hair. And so in a very strategic place. And so we're excited to see what the Lord has in store.
Awesome. So listeners, you can be praying for that new work that's taking place in Rome.
Clay, we are happy to have you back. Back to an apology to our listeners. This is the start of season three. Our goal with season two was to get to 20 episodes that we had in our first season, but fell a little bit short of that. Clay and his family also went to the States for an extended visit. And Clay, tell us about how that was.
Yeah. So the Lord gave us an opportunity to head back to our home away from home, which is Central Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas. It's been 4 years since we were back as a family. And so it was great being able to visit our sending church. We love our sending church. They support the work that the Lord is doing here. And so we're very grateful for them. It was great also to be with family and friends that we haven't seen in so long. And it was a very encouraging summer, I could say. But you know what? Coming from Central Arkansas, where the majority is evangelical believers, after having been here in Rome, Italy, where we're definitely a religious minority, you typically wouldn't think that Roman Catholicism would be much of an issue in Central Arkansas. And really, that's kind of, I think, the way a lot of evangelical leaders and pastors think in that part of the country. I mean, there's Roman Catholic churches, there's Roman Catholic schools. My mom grew up in Central Arkansas and went to Roman Catholic schools up until high school. But typically, it's evangelical churches. However, this summer, the Lord really provided many opportunities for me to really serve our brothers and sisters in Christ, several who were dealing with Roman Catholicism or trying to understand how to deal with Roman Catholicism in a church that you wouldn't think would really, or some people wouldn't think would need to be equipped on how to deal with Roman Catholicism, considering the context. I had five different situations where either a pastor or leaders of small groups, the church to small groups, or other people from the church came to me saying, hey, I have, for example, a daughter who has been in a serious relationship for 2 years. She's a professing believer, but her boyfriend is a Roman Catholic. And now they're thinking about the future. They're trying to understand what the differences are and what this means for them. And how can I process this? How do I approach this? Understanding that Roman Catholicism teaches something very different from what our sending church teaches in regards to the gospel. And so praise God for the formation he's provided for me through this experience here in Rome, being able to work alongside you brothers here, and just being able to go back and articulate and help these people understand how do we approach Roman Catholicism. We've done that in the past on previous episodes. You know, is this a Philippians 1 situation where it's the same gospel, but being preached for maybe the wrong motives? Or is this a Galatians 1 situation where we're talking about something totally different? And so there is a need in the Bible Belt in Central Arkansas, in the South, really everywhere. Leo's talked about this before. Anywhere you go, you're going to find Roman Catholicism. But there is a need to properly understand what Roman Catholicism teaches. How do we approach that? And so I'm thankful for the opportunity he gave us this summer and pray that the Lord would continue to use this podcast and the equipping that we're being able to do for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world to help the church understand how to protect the gospel and how to approach Roman Catholics with the hope that they would come to see the beauty of the biblical gospel.
It is pretty amazing. I too come from the South, and just reflecting on how I grew up, Roman Catholicism was not a huge presence, but it is pretty amazing. Once you start to kind of ask questions and dig a little bit below the surface, you realize that how many people really have ties in some way or other to Roman Catholicism. So it is important for pastors who lead churches to make sure that their members are equipped and understand how to engage with that belief system, because it's very pertinent, and most everyone or a lot of people have ties in one way or another to it. So being equipped is extremely important, and hearing your experiences are very similar to mine as well. And of course, in certain parts of the states, in the New England states, is a very strong presence. In Europe, it's very strong. And Italy, of course, where we are, I mean, it's the dominant religious expression by far. That experience is extremely important for all pastors. And Leo, I don't think you did anything this summer. You just kind of sat in Rome and twiddled your thumbs. And
that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
typical summer for Leo. How was your summer, Leo?
It was very good. I had the opportunity to do proofreading, mm-hmm. and also researching and other ordinary ministerial tasks. But very glad to be back in the fall. And work with you in this podcast and even on other projects.
Right. It is good to all be back together.
Yeah.
And in fact, the purpose, or I guess the subject of this podcast, is something we've been waiting to do for a long, long time. It's a book that Leo recently wrote that is finally coming out. COVID slowed down the actual release of the book, but finally October 21st, so less than a month now, Leo's book, Same Words, Different Worlds, will be coming out. It's published by InterVarsity Press. And this book really summarizes why the Reformanda Initiative exists. In fact, even the subtitle of his book, Do Roman Catholics and Evangelicals Believe the Same Gospel, is why we're here doing what we're doing, because that is the question. And answering it is controversial, but it's extremely important for the church to engage that question honestly and be willing to dig deep. And that's exactly what Leo, you've done with your book. It's not a extremely long book, about 130 pages. It's got an introduction, four chapters, a conclusion, and you have some appendixes that are part of the book that we want to walk through in just a minute. In the introduction of the book, I appreciated the quote of the Welsh pastor, Martin Lloyd-Jones, and which you point out that it's not so much a denial of the truth that is the major issue with Roman Catholicism. It's what is added to it that really changes the nature of the gospel. And as Clay was just saying, that's biblical examples abound in the Bible, and Paul's letter to the Galatians is a perfect example of that. It wasn't that the false teachers were telling them to deny the truth or to say, no, that is what you're believing is not accurate. It's false. It was what they were adding to it, adding the observation of Mosaic law, adding circumcision, making those necessary for being a follower of Christ. And Paul said, he said, that's no gospel at all. That's a false gospel. We've spoken about that in past episodes, but it's extremely helpful for thinking about how to engage this question. Is it the same gospel or is it something different? Many instances in the Bible, especially that letter, is helpful in responding to that. And there's a lot of pressure today, as you also note in the introduction, to affirm the same gospel, to be unified, yeah. and to be ecumenical in that sense. Hey, we're all in this together. And oftentimes that unfortunately comes at the expense of the distinctives of the gospel. And so while we do want we want to be unified in the gospel, the actual gospel itself has to be defended. It has to be well defined. It has to be clear, because as Paul says to the Romans, it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So we have to understand what that message is and defend it. So, Leo, we're extremely excited about your book coming out. Again, it comes out on October 21st. You can already pre-order it on IVPbooks.com. You can pre-order it on Amazon, I believe.
Yeah.
And we'll put certainly notes in this episode, but that's easy to find. Same words, different, same worlds, different words. Yeah. Same words, different worlds. How about, there we go. Yeah. There we go.
And it's got a wonderful low price of $14.99. Yeah. So it's totally worth it. It will be a fantastic investment.
Yeah. And it's not super long, and it'll be a great addition to the resources that the Reform Man Initiative offers. So Leo, thank you for your work. Tell us a little bit about how this book came about, and what was the process of putting it together?
Well, basically two things. Thank you very much, Reed, for asking this question. First of all, as you know, since 2010, I've been writing the Vatican Files, collected in the website vaticanfiles.org. And so since then, there's been a quite an extensive amount of material that has been produced, more than 190 Vatican Files, that is articles, reports, analysis of books, documents, events, papal speeches, and so on. And so I was thinking of a way of putting the best of those together in a book form in order to make them available in this different format. And so condensing in a way the reflection that has been going on for 10 years since the beginnings of the Vatican Files. And so instead of publishing them all together, you know, in a collective way, I kind of selected and reworked a number of them, maybe 25 of them, and put them in a book form. The idea was to try to basically to respond to the current ecumenical approach to the issue of Roman Catholicism and evangelicalism. And the current main approach is that we basically say the same things, but we use different words. So we, on justification, basically we come to it from different perspectives, but basically at the root we say the same thing. There is an agreement there. There are different, you know, histories, different thought forms, different languages, but if we dig deeper, that there is a commonality there. The same is true as far as salvation or the gospel. We have different traditions. So the Catholics are more sacramental, evangelicals are more word-based, but in the end, we say the same thing. Now, the book challenges this assumption and wants to put forward a different approach by looking at the commonalities, not in terms of them being affirming the same things with different words, but actually reversing the argument. We are using the same words, but we're meaning different things. And so it's an invitation to evangelicals to rethink what has been the growing current mainstream ecumenical reading of our differences between evangelicals and Catholics, and to suggest that we need a better explanation of our differences in terms of using the same words phonetically as sounds, as units of language, but carrying different worlds. And therefore trying then to explain what is the issue at the core of the difference, informing all differences across our use of the same language.
Looking at the table of contents of the book, just to give our listeners a taste of what's coming out. We mentioned that there's an introduction. Chapter one is probably touching on what you were just sharing about. It's same words, same world, question mark. Questioning some common viewpoints. So would these be the viewpoints that you...
Yeah, these are all different ways in which this ecumenical reading is articulated. You know, we share the same doctrine of Christ, but we differ on perhaps on nuances in our view of salvation. We share the same Trinitarian framework, but we differ on the way in which we appropriate salvation, or we are recipients of salvation. And that's one. Or we do have commonality in the great tradition of the church, and our issues are only related to modern developments. Or we do have some basic Christianity in common, and then there are some layers on top that are different. Evangelicals and Catholics together, that's another way in which this ecumenical approach comes in. You know, we can agree on basic issues and differing on minor secondary issues. You know, it comes from various sources, from various backgrounds, and in various contexts, or in even in the more mission-minded sectors of evangelicalism. Yeah, we are different, but we are on mission. And so if we are on mission, it means that we are on the same page as far as, you know, the basic task of the church. Mm-hmm. So it's a way of saying, well, wait a minute. All of these voices need to be understood and properly put in their context, and needs to be shown as ways that are already imbued with this ecumenical reading, and offering a different approach, saying, no, the issue is actually the opposite. There are commonalities in language, but if we analyze this language, not in terms of conspiracy theory, not in terms of awkward secret interpretations, but on the basis of plain Roman Catholic teaching, culture, history, tradition, magisterium, it is clear that we are actually dealing with something very different, even though it uses the same word. So it's a way of making an example of the ways in which this ecumenical reading comes to us, and suggesting alternative ways of reading the same issues from a different perspective.
Of course, the desire today in the ecumenical circle is to, as we've said many times on this podcast, is to focus on those things that you mentioned before that we share similarities in, or that on the surface seem to unite us, and while downplaying the other things. And of course, that's the necessity of understanding Roman Catholicism as a theological system, as we've said all along. And in chapter two, you explore some of the Catholic doctrinal field. It's a key Roman Catholic word context. Yeah. What can the reader expect from that chapter?
It deals with basic issues in the Roman Catholic theological system: revelation, mm-hmm. Bible, and tradition. That's a cluster of issues there. That the words are the same. We use the words revelation, Bible, and tradition, although less so. But in the Catholic understanding, as we have already analyzed in this podcast, excuse me, they are put in a flux. They're put in a continuum that doesn't recognize the primacy of Scripture over tradition. And so we're using revelation, Bible, etc. But we're actually giving the Bible a very different place. And then there is another cluster related to salvation, justification, regeneration, and all these words are the same. But if you dig deeper, you end up in looking at and realizing that for Catholicism, regeneration is attached to a sacrament, that is baptism. And so it changes the whole picture. And justification is related to a sacrament. It's not by faith alone, in Christ alone. So the word is the same, but the theology is very different. And all the consequences that flow from that difference. And then another cluster has to do with mission and unity, very important words in our contemporary religious world. Unity, unity, unity. But what is the Catholic view of unity? It's always an institutional, sacramental, papal unity that is not something that that cannot be squared with the biblical view of unity, whereby we are united spiritually through Christ to the Trinity. And mission, again, a very important word, but with very different meanings. In present-day contemporary Catholicism, mission is about going out to share lives with people, to walk with people. And there is no sense of people being lost in their sins without Christ. And so it changes the world. If you do mission according to one meaning or according to a different meaning, the biblical meaning. And so it provides a brief explanation of the main clusters of forming the theological core of Catholicism and showing that beyond the words, there are different worlds.
So I know the president of Union School of Theology, Michael Reeves, wrote a foreword for your book. And in that foreword, he actually highlighted the fascinating use of the hypax and malon that we have talked about in past episodes of how that, the once and for all. And is that, would that be in this chapter, a discussion on that?
Yes, that's right. That's right. And that's one of the explanations of the differences that some of the key biblical terms that are used by Roman Catholicism are understood in terms of malon, evermore, in terms of the church's involvement and role in making them present, in propagating, in administering, instead of recognizing their once and for allness, their unique final accomplishment in Christ. And so that has to do with, you know, revelation and salvation and also the exercise of the authority. So it's through the church that the salvation of Christ, the authority of Christ, the word of Christ is then not only propagated but also reenacted and even unfolded and even expanded.
Chapter 3, you dig into some specific terms and help the readers understand better, like office of the papacy, Mary, mercy, indulgences, aspects like that. Just being considerate of time, I know one thing I was very intrigued about, it was one of your appendixes, appendix 2 of the book, and we'll come back to chapter 3, is 9 people that you should know to understand Vatican II theology. Give us an example of who one of those people may be that our listeners probably never heard of and why that person is
important. These are important shapers of present-day Roman Catholic theology that need to be known if one wants to make sense of the present-day Roman Catholic theology and practice, John Henry Newman and his view of development, the development of dogma, the fact that Catholicism is not a static, wooden, rigid system, but is an evolving system. It changes without changing, but it grows without changing, without reforming. That's very important. You have Rahner, Karl Rahner, very important figure in shaping Vatican II texts, the idea that we are anonymous Christians on the basis of our humanity. And so we are born Christians, we are born children of God. And so that completely changes the view of the gospel. You have Romano Guardini, the German, Italian-German theologian, philosopher, talking about the Catholic worldview. Catholicism is not just a set of isolated doctrines, but it's a complete worldview, Weltanschauung in German. And also John Paul II, the one who tried to put all these things together in relaunching the role and the position of the Catholic Church in the post sexual revolution era. And Benedict the 16th and France, Pope Francis, these are among the nine names that are important for, and also of course the French theologians De Lubac and Congar, they shaped Vatican II theology by way of looking at Catholicism as a dynamic religion that is not confined to a kind of scholastic set of doctrines, but is a living tradition that continues to grow and to thrive sacramentally, revelationally, missionally, and so on. So this fascinating views of Catholicism as being a living thing. All these together, they are important voices that help us to make sense of present-day trends in Roman Catholicism. Yeah.
And the third and last appendix of the book, you highlight why evangelicals must engage with Roman Catholicism. So clearly the answer to maybe doctrinal and theological difference we have is not to retreat away from discourse, away from engaging in conversation. But why is it so important to for evangelicals to?
Well, one instance was referred to by Clay at the very beginning. Wherever you go, even in the Bible Belt, even in the Deep South, Catholicism is there in one way or another, in one form or another. Is it an existential relationship to a family member, to a friend, to a colleague? Or is it something that comes up in the, you know, on the news and wherever you go in the world, because it's the largest religious group in the world. Mm-hmm. And so if we want to be alert and vigil and awaken as Christians, we must deal with it. And whether or not we live in a majority Catholic context or we live in a context where Catholicism is relatively small, but nonetheless present and in most cases influential.
The book comes out on October 21st. Again, pre-ordered on ibpbooks.com or on Amazon. Leo is clearly a very intelligent man, but his books actually are very readable and very approachable. And so, and this one especially. So if you want to understand Roman Catholicism from an evangelical perspective, this book is a must have and a must read. And it will certainly provide a lot more content for us to dig into for future episodes. But Leo, thank you for putting it together. We're excited about it. We're praying that the Lord will use it. And
there's actually some great press reviews that you can see on the IVP website if you look at the book. A couple of those, just briefly. You mentioned Michael Reeves wrote
the foreword for the book, but his press review, I love it. He says, just as Luther's own debates with Rome clarified his theology, so this book helps evangelicals think more clearly about the gospel and so helps us be more truly evangelical. This book not only gives us wisdom, it takes us deep into the joy-giving world of the gospel. And then probably one of my favorites is from Pastor and Dr. Josh Moody, who's the pastor, senior pastor of College Church in Wheaton. I love this. He says, Leonardo Di Chirico's Same Words, Different Worlds is an authoritative, clear, and compelling account. He knows of what he speaks. And then here's his words of encouragement. Fluffy-minded evangelicals confused about, quote, contemporary Roman Catholicism, read and learn. So we love you, fluffy-minded evangelicals. And there is a lot of confusion out there, not only amongst the fluffy-minded evangelicals, but this is a wonderful asset for everyone. So with that being said, we'll wrap up our episode. As usual, we want to encourage you to follow our, subscribe to our podcast, share it with your friends, give us a like, write a comment. If you want access to some great resources, check out our website, www.reformandinitiative.org. And we'll keep you posted as new content comes out. And we look forward to a new season of the Reformand Initiative podcast with all of you. If you have questions, comments, please send them to us. We'd love to respond to those. We'd love to hear from you. So until next time from Rome, God bless.